Tech It For Me is an independent and solo-produced podcast.
Welcome to the Tech It For Me podcast. I'm Mike Madole. If you're like most people, you think you're reasonably careful online. You don't click sketchy links, you don't open spam emails, and your passwords are pretty good, right? So why do stories of stolen Netflix accounts, compromised credit cards, and hacked bank logins still keep happening to regular people? Well, here's the truth. Cyber criminals don't need to target you anymore. They use automated tools to scoop up logins, skim data, and steal identities at scale. And most people have no idea how exposed they really are. In this episode, we're going to break it all down. How the bad guys actually get your info, what you're probably doing wrong without even realizing it, and five things you can start doing today to protect yourself and your family. This is the Tech It From Me podcast. Let's go.
This is the Tech It From Me podcast.
Let's talk about how this stuff really happens. Not the Hollywood version, but the real-world tools and tactics used by cybercriminals. There are many methods these malicious actors use, but here are the top five most commonly used methods. Number one, phishing. That's the classic one. An email pretending to be from your bank, Amazon, or Netflix, or others. It says there's a problem with your payment method or your account was locked, and it provides a link. But the link takes you to a fake login page. You type in your credentials, and bam, they've got your info. The second method is social engineering. Sometimes it's not about tech at all. It's a phone call from tech support asking for remote access, or someone pretending to be payroll asking you to verify your direct deposit details. Humans are always the weak point, and the hackers know it. Thirdly, credential stuffing. This one is really sneaky. Let's say you use the same email and password on a random website 5 years ago, and that site was breached. Hackers take that combo and try it on every major platform. Gmail, Amazon, Facebook, PayPal, you name it. If you reuse that password, you're done for. The fourth method, public Wi-Fi attacks. Here's a classic move. Someone sets up a fake Wi-Fi hotspot at a coffee shop and names it something legit, like Starbucks free Wi-Fi or Tim Hortons Timbits. You connect and they start intercepting your data. It's called a man-in-the-middle attack, and it's more common than you think. And the fifth most common is malicious apps and browser extensions. Not everything happens over email. Sometimes it's a mobile app that asks for way too many permissions, or a browser extension that quietly logs your keystrokes. This stuff isn't hypothetical. I've seen phishing campaigns hit an entire department. I've also seen a company owner fall for fake invoice emails. And these aren't people who, quote, should have known better, unquote. They were simply caught off guard. Now, let's talk about why you, yes, you, are more vulnerable than you think. Most people assume, I'm not that important. Nobody's going to want to hack me. They think, I don't have millions in the bank. Why would anyone come after me? But that's not how this works anymore. You're not being personally targeted. You're being scooped up, along with thousands of others, in automated sweeps that don't care who you are. They just want one thing, access. Here's the reality. Cybercrime is no longer a guy in a hoodie guessing passwords at 3 a.m. It's software. It's bots. It's scripts running through databases of billions of leaked credentials, testing them at scale against every major platform you can think of. It's like someone going down your street with a master key, just trying it on every single door. If your door is weak, or if you reuse the same lock as 15 other people, they're going to get in. So let me give you an example. A few years ago, LinkedIn had a major data breach. Millions of emails and passwords were exposed. Fast forward to today, those credentials are still floating around online. And if you've reused that same LinkedIn password for, say, Netflix or your Gmail account or online banking, guess what? Attackers have tools that will try your LinkedIn combo on every major site automatically. That is what's called credential stuffing, and it works way more often than you'd think it would. And it gets worse. Sometimes your credentials don't even need to be stolen in real time. They can be bought or downloaded from massive dark web dumps, like the infamous Collection Number One breach. That had over 770 million email and password combinations exposed. If you've never checked to see if your email address has shown up in one of these dumps, I strongly suggest a website called haveibeenpawned.com. So that's HAVEIBEENPWNED.com. It's free, it's safe, and it's run by a well-respected security researcher. Just type in your email address, and you might be shocked by how many breaches it's been involved in. I've seen people shrug this off. I've got nothing to hide, they say. But here's the thing. You don't need to have any secrets. You just need to have value and access to things that criminals want. So think about it. Your email account is the recovery point for almost everything. Your Amazon account might have stored credit cards. Your Dropbox might have sensitive work files or personal records. Your Uber account could be used for identity theft and fraud. And once someone gets in, it's not just about theft. It's about control. They can lock you out. They can impersonate you. They can use your email to send phishing scams to your contacts. And they will trust it because it came from you. It's not about paranoia. It's about understanding the scale and automation of today's attacks. You don't have to be a millionaire. You just have to be unprepared. All right, so now that I've scared you, so what can you do? At the beginning, I promised five simple things that you could do. Here are those five simple, practical things that will drastically reduce your risk. First off, use a password manager. This is the biggest game changer. I use a software called 1Password. And no, I'm not sponsored, I'm not compensated or affiliated with this company in any way. I just really believe in it. One of the reasons I selected it is because it includes built-in support for MFA, or multi-factor authentication. Instead of bouncing between a password vault and an authenticator app, I can generate one-time codes right inside of 1Password. It simplifies my workflow and actually makes me more secure because I'm not tempted to cut corners. Everything syncs across my devices as well. Windows, Mac, iPhone, iPad, and autofill is awesome. If you're still storing passwords in your browser, or worse, using the same password on multiple sites, you really need to make a switch. Other solid password managers include Bitwarden and Dashlane. Even iCloud Keychain has improved, but for cross-platform users, 1Password really shines. The second, turn on MFA everywhere you can. Multi-factor authentication means that even if someone steals your password, they still can't get in without a second form of verification, like a code from your phone. Most major sites support this now. Turn it on for your email, banking, social media, absolutely everything where it's available. Third, stop reusing passwords. If one site gets compromised and you've reused that password elsewhere, all those other accounts are now vulnerable. A password manager makes this simple. You can have a unique strong password for every single site and never have to remember any of them. Number four, be skeptical of public Wi-Fi. When you're at a coffee shop or an airport, avoid logging into sensitive accounts. These networks are often poorly secured, and in some cases, they're outright malicious. That free airport Wi-Fi might actually be someone running a fake hotspot. In addition to this, use a VPN when you're away from home. If you have to access a public Wi-Fi, a VPN or a virtual private network is your best friend. A VPN encrypts your internet traffic, creating a secure tunnel between your device and the internet. That means even if someone is snooping on the network, they can't see what you're doing. I know VPNs can sound technical or intimidating, but they've become super easy to use. There's lots of great options out there as well. ProtonVPN is a solid privacy focus from the creators of ProtonMail. Molvad, you don't even need to create an account with them. NordVPN, ExpressVPN, they're very user-friendly and fast. But the one that I use daily, Cloudflare Warp. It's part of Cloudflare's 1.1.1.1 app, and it's available not just on phones, but also on Windows and Mac. I use it on my Mac as part of my regular workflow. Now, technically, Warp isn't a full VPN in the traditional sense. It's more of a secure connection optimizer. It encrypts your traffic, routes it through Cloudflare's global network, and protects you from snooping on unsecured networks. It doesn't let you spoof your location, so it's not meant for streaming or region hopping. But for privacy and security on the go, it's fabulous, and it's free. If you're looking for a lightweight option that just works and comes from a company trusted for internet infrastructure, Warp is a great place to start. And don't worry, I'm going to do a future episode specifically dedicated to VPNs, how they work, how to choose the right one, and why some of them do more harm than good. So stay tuned for that. The fifth and final one that I wanted to share here is train yourself to spot phishing. If something feels off, it probably is. Check the sender of an email. Look closely at a URL. Don't click on unexpected links. And when in doubt, just go directly to the site in your browser. These days, phishing attacks aren't riddled with typos. They look really good. They look professional. They create urgency and they rely on people reacting without thinking. Slowing down could save you a lot of grief later on. I want to shift gears now and talk about this from my experience, not just as someone who's tech savvy, but as an IT leader as well. I've worked in IT for a long time, across industries like healthcare, retail, food services, law, even private equity-backed companies. And here's the biggest thing that I've learned. It's never just about the technology. It's always about the people. You can have the best firewall money can buy, endpoint detection tools humming in the background, encrypted storage, and all the latest patches in place. But if someone on your team clicks a phishing link, if someone reuses their old Yahoo password from 2008, if someone says yes to a fake tech support call pretending to be from the help desk, it's game over. Cybersecurity is a behavioral issue, not just a technical one. And that's why, as a leader, my job isn't just to secure systems. It's to make secure behavior easier than insecure behavior. So what that means is giving people password managers so they don't write passwords on sticky notes. Rolling out single sign-on with multi-factor authentication to make logins secure and seamless. Running phishing simulations and awareness training, not to shame people, but to educate them. And building a culture where it's okay to ask, hey, this email looks weird, do you mind taking a look at it? You'd be surprised how many breaches start with someone too afraid just to speak up. And look, I get it. Most people just want to do their job. They don't wake up thinking about security. But if we give them the right tools and make the secure choice the easy choice, they will take it. That's why I recommend password managers. That's why I push for MFA everywhere. That's why I advocate for tools like Cloud Warp for mobile and desktop users on the go. Because good tools make good habits stick. And I've seen firsthand what happens when those habits are not there. There was one case I remember, a user clicked on a phishing email that looked like a DocuSign request. The branding was flawless, the urgency, it was believable. They entered their Microsoft 365 credentials into this fake page, and within minutes, their inbox was taken over and used to launch internal phishing campaigns targeting finance. Our department caught it, we contained it, but not before it created confusion, risk, and a whole lot of cleanup work. And that was just one person, one click. So when I tell people to take this stuff seriously, it's not theoretical. I've seen the domino effect, and I've seen how just one extra layer of protection, one good decision, can stop that domino from falling. All right, let's wrap this up. Here's what I hope you take away from today's episode. Cybercrime today is automated, scalable, and indiscriminate. You don't have to be rich or famous to be a target. The most common attacks don't rely on high-end hacking. They rely on people reusing passwords, skipping MFA, or clicking on things that appear to be legitimate. Your behavior matters more than your firewall. So here's my challenge to you. Start with just one thing today. Turn on MFA for your email. Install and use a password manager and let it start handling your logins. Try Cloudflare Warp on your phone or laptop next time you're on public Wi-Fi. Small steps now are a lot easier than dealing with identity theft or account compromise later. And remember, this stuff isn't just for IT people. If you use the internet, you're in the game. Might as well play defense. If you found this episode helpful, feel free to share it with a friend or a coworker. You can find all episodes and my blog articles at techitfromme.com or follow the show on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for listening. This has been the Tech It From Me podcast.
Tech It From Me is an independent and solo-produced podcast.